Get it prepared any way you want. You and your doctor just have to decide which way works best for your health and your finances. Injections. It's the wham, bam, was I supposed to pay and thank you, doc, method. With weekly, monthly, or even quarterly injections, you get your doses of testosterone immediately. The problem is that they can cause noticeable fluctuations in hormone levels that can affect your mood and your energy. Sublingually. Here, the testosterone is delivered through a tablet placed under the tongue, typically every 12 hours, which evens out the delivery better than the injection. The downside is that sublingual testosterone has been linked to liver abnormalities. Through the patch. It's costly, but replacement of testosterone with a patch on your skin is considered safe, though some men have skin reactions to it. The benefit is that the testosterone is absorbed through your skin to increase the active form of testosterone. It also has a much better match for your body's natural cycles and rhythms. Depending on which you use, the patches can be applied to your abdomen, back, legs, or, hold the Snickers please, directly onto the scrotum. The vitality hormones. Worth the investment? Take a look at three other so-called vitality hormones, which influence our overall energy and desires. DHEA. A steroid hormone that's similar to testosterone and estrogen and can actually be converted to these hormones. DHEA has been considered by many to be the snake oil of medications. It's been marketed as a cure-all that improves just about every system of the body. One big problem? DHEA is considered a food supplement, so it's not regulated tightly by the FDA. Another? Since it's a steroid, it has the same potential long-term side effects as other steroids, such as cancer and a weakened immune system. Just because something makes you feel good doesn't mean it's good for you. Think cocaine, heroin, or pints of ice cream. Nevertheless, we do believe that DHEA can be effective for boosting energy, stamina, and reduced sex drive. So, if you're wiped out or have low libido, and you've been checked out by docs for everything else, maybe, just maybe, low doses of DHEA might help. You need to talk to your doctor about your own levels and be cautious if you have thyroid issues or rising PSA, because DHEA is the precursor of androgens, and super high levels of androgens might be linked to prostate cancer. Even normal levels may be a problem if you already have the disease. We don't endorse DHEA as the miracle anti-aging drug that it's often purported to be, but rather in measured doses as a way to possibly counteract general fatigue and low moods associated with aging when the usual suspects have been rounded up and no other obvious culprits exist, and then only at the lowest dose that seems to work. Our recommendation is to try 25 to 50 milligrams and to monitor if it's working. Growth hormone. You may have seen a lot of it in the news because of athletes accused of taking it to improve performance. But human growth hormone has also gotten a lot of press for its purported anti-aging benefits. Here's how it works. Growth hormone, naturally produced by the pituitary gland, the pea-sized organ at the base of the brain, acts on the liver and other tissues to stimulate production of insulin-like growth factor, or IGF-1. That IGF-1 is what's responsible for the growth-promoting effects of growth hormone, especially important in the proper development of children. Today's debate focuses on how much growth hormone we need as we age, since the production is highest during childhood and the hormone-drenched adolescent years, then typically starts tapering off around age 30, continuing to decline into old age, and if we become obese. Many marketers want you to believe that boosting growth hormone levels can reduce body fat, build muscle, improve sex life, sleep quality, vision, and memory. It can restore hair growth and color, strengthen the immune system, normalize blood sugar, increase energy, and turn back your body's biological clock. But the flip side is that it causes swollen and painful joints, carpal tunnel syndrome, gynecomastia. Big breasts, by the way, are a big price to pay for men. And a trend towards the onset of diabetes, a big price to pay for both genders. It also offers no benefits in clinically relevant outcomes, such as bone density, cholesterol and lipids, and maximal oxygen consumption. We think growth hormone might help with cholesterol and lean muscle mass, but the differences are so small that adopting even a few non-growth hormone options will offer you equivalent results and without the $1,000 a month price tag of growth hormone. Thyroid hormone. Surprised to see thyroid hormone here? Well, so many people experience thyroid problems that we consider it a vitality hormone as well. If your thyroid slows down, you can experience things like fatigue and weight gain, but they can be reversed with thyroid medication so you can return to feeling vibrant and strong. We recommend that both women and men have their thyroid-stimulating hormone level checked every other year. Thyroid-stimulating hormone is the trigger from the brain that tells your thyroid gland to make thyroid hormone. You can also do a pre-screen yourself. Every morning, as soon as you wake up and before getting out of bed, put a thermometer under your tongue for 3 minutes. If your under-the-tongue temperature is less than 98 degrees Fahrenheit, you're likely hypothyroid. Repeat the test every day for 2 weeks.
U-tips. When you were 15, you probably thought that a light breeze was the only thing a man needed in order to achieve an erection. Those were the good old days. You only had to think the words, Charlie's Angels, and your gun was out of its holster. Times change, and it's not so easy anymore. The real reason why you may be slow on the draw isn't because you're not interested in sex, but because your arterial and hormonal traffic flow isn't quite right. These tips will help you keep it moving a little more smoothly. U-tip, put your heart into it. The best thing you can do for your penis is be good to your heart. That is, follow our guidelines about eating heart-healthy and artery-clearing foods and getting at least 1 hour a week of cardiovascular exercise. While arterial issues aren't the root of every erectile problem, they are the major cause, and the only way to keep the short-lived nitric oxide ready for battle is to keep the troops well exercised. The better your blood pumps, the better other parts of your body will too. U-tip. Go grape! The polyphenols in Concord grape juice stimulate endothelial cells, the cells that line blood vessels, to release NO, which not only helps protect against cardiovascular disease, but helps maintain healthy blood vessels and adequate blood pressure. Only juices with high levels of polyphenols have the beneficial effect, and that depends on the type of grape used and how it's processed. U-tip, ask for a quicker picker-upper. The rise of Viagra-like drugs has basically made most other erection treatments obsolete. The reason why Viagra is so effective? It stimulates that chain reaction that allows blood to flow into the penis by prolonging nitric oxide's effect. NO stimulates a chain of events that dilates those arteries so much that the return of blood from the penis through the veins is blocked. Rather than answer any of the several dozen junk emails selling Viagra that you will receive today, talk to your doc about a prescription that helps stimulate that blood flow. Big caveat, Viagra doesn't cure ED. If you don't treat the underlying cause, be it onion rings, inactivity, or that you smoke more than a 5-alarm fire, then you're ultimately never going to fix the problem. Now, if you have the unfortunate side effect of a cement-hard erection that lasts for more than 4 hours, yes, we said unfortunate, you do need to see a doctor because it means that your penis is probably not getting enough new blood and may be starving to death. U-tip, prepare yourself. Used to be that anything involving the penis caused embarrassment. Buying condoms, talking about erection problems, open zippers. But penises should be like any other part of your body. If you've got a problem that can't be fixed with an aspirin, a Band-Aid, or an ice pack, then you ought to seek some attention. At your visit, you can expect a thorough exam, which is the only way to get to the bottom of erectile issues. Here's what you'll do. Describe the problem. The more detail, the better. Describe if you are having any hardness and for how long, and exactly how long you've been experiencing issues. The more your doc knows, the better he can help. Talk about your mindset. A doc will want to explore some psychological issues, so speak up about any stresses or changes in your personal life. They may be subconscious contributors. Give your full medical history. As you've seen, a penis problem isn't just a penis problem. A doc needs to know everything so he can see what risk factors may be playing a role. You tell the story. Let him connect the dots. Go through a physical exam. A doc will do a visual once over to see if you have any medical abnormalities that can cause ED, like small testicles or a curved penis, as well as check blood vessel pulses as an indication of vascular disease. Have a lab test. He'll check important numbers like LDL and HDL cholesterol, triglycerides, glucose, TSH, DHEA, and testosterone to get a better picture of the underlying cause.
Major ager, UV radiation, how the sun can nourish and destroy your body. Vampires, inmates in solitary confinement, and third shift workers may not get all that much exposure to the sun, but you'd really have to be living in the dark not to know the value of the largest object in our solar system. It helps us see, it helps plants grow, and it makes a mighty fine name for newspapers, yoga positions, and the basketball teams from Phoenix. And it can also help you prevent cancer and osteoporosis. Yet we also know that that bright little bugger can be a real son of a gun. Stare into it, and you'll get blinded by the light. Or bathe in it, and you'll get lobstered in no time at all. The ultimate symbol of life can also be a major generator of death. Or at least a heck of a lot of wrinkles. The role of the sun gives us great insights into how we age. The sun acts sort of like one of those machines that shoots out tennis balls. But the sun's tennis balls come in the form of ultraviolet rays that are torpedoed down to Earth. Now, one type of ultraviolet ray, UVC rays, is blocked by the atmosphere, like the tennis balls being hit into the net before they reach you, so it has little effect on you. The rays that are constantly being played onto your court are the UVA rays and the UVB rays. Now, you have a choice. Get pummeled by the rays or take a swing and block them so that they bounce off of you. Even though UVB rays are stopped at the level of the skin, they can still cause burning and cancer of the skin, although they cause tanning as well. Meanwhile, UVA rays deeply penetrate the skin to cause burns, wrinkles, and skin cancer. To top it off, sunlight also destroys your reserves of folic acid, also known as folate, or vitamin B9. Folate is needed so your body can replicate DNA properly. That's why it helps protect against birth defects. And the rays can damage your eyes, the subject of our next chapter. How do UV rays cause damage? One way is through connective tissue breakdown. Ultraviolet radiation causes the structural protein of our skin, called collagen, to break down and disables our ability to repair damage. Another way sun ages our skin is through the formation of free radicals, those aggressive charged compounds that damage cells and break down collagen as well. Free radicals can cause cancer by changing your DNA and preventing your body from repairing it. How? Ultraviolet radiation destroys the rungs of the DNA ladder, so that the DNA ladder posts bind to one another. This makes a bulge so that the DNA doesn't form or function correctly. Still another way UV rays cause damage is by thinning the collagen in the walls of surface blood vessels, leading to bruising, bleeding, and the appearance of blood vessels through the skin. But the flip side is that we also really need UV rays. Natural sunlight creates an active vitamin D, which we need for bone health since it helps regulate calcium. It also helps ensure the proper function of the heart, nervous system, clotting process, and immune system. That's significant because thousands of cancer deaths a year are linked to insufficient UVB exposure and subsequent deficiency of active vitamin D. How do UVB rays activate vitamin D? From cholesterol. That's why your blood cholesterol levels rise in the winter. Because of the lack of sunlight, you don't have enough active vitamin D, so your body pumps up your cholesterol in the hope of converting as much as possible to active vitamin D. This serves as another example of an evolutionary trade-off between procreation and longevity. To protect us from deficiencies of vitamin D, we've evolved to have higher levels of cholesterol. So now we survive to mate and to be able to stand up strong and look good, only to be felled by high LDL cholesterol and consequent heart disease and stroke. Here's another interesting way to look at these biological trade-offs. If you have low levels of UBB penetration, then you need higher cholesterol, which can be more readily converted to vitamin D. In this setting of low sun exposure, a substance called APOE4 rises to help create more cholesterol and subsequent vitamin D. APOE4 elevations of cholesterol lead to atherosclerosis and Alzheimer's later in life. This good and bad argument is really another example of being balanced. You don't want too much, but you also can't have too little. As in the case with many things we've covered, finding the perfect equilibrium is one of the real secrets to slowing the aging process.
Chapter 13. See the World. Whether you consider your eyes to be the window to your soul or target practice for stooges' fingers, we can all agree on at least one thing. Those squishy little orbs are just about as precious as a 3-week-old puppy. While losing your vision, in part or in its entirety, isn't a do-or-die issue, not being able to drive or work your regular job or hit your lips with lipstick can really ruin your day. Still, it seems that we accept age-related decline in vision as much as we accept age-related decline in income, that it's just part of life. While it's true that some people are predisposed to lose some of their vision, you don't have to resign yourself to a blurry, dark, or colorless world as you get older. By taking steps to protect your eyes, especially from the major age of UV radiation, and feed them with the right nutrients, you'll arm yourselves with the optimal optical arsenal. Try saying that 3 times fast. Your eyes. It would be a mistake to think that all of our eyes are the same except for the color of the iris. Eyes, which are derived from brain tissue, are different genetically, which means that some of us are more or less predisposed to developing vision problems. Nevertheless, there are some similarities in anatomy to consider. Plus, we all see in the same way. Here's how. Information from the outside world gets transmitted to the cornea, the clear outer covering of the eye. The cornea and the lens behind it bend the light that's coming through and focus it on the retina. The retina acts like a film in a camera. 2 kinds of retinal cells in the back of the eye connect to neurons in your brain that let you interpret what you think you saw. These 2 types of brain cells in the retina are rods, which respond to black and white, and cones, which respond to color. Information from the retina travels along the optic nerve so it can be processed by your brain. This momentously amazing process is kind of simple in theory, but as anyone who's squinted through sun or blinked from dust or been blinded by oncoming headlights know, it's not all that easy. The reason? Subtle changes in our ocular anatomy can shift the way we see and be the reasons why we don't. The cornea. Think of this outer coating as the clear protective outer covering of a watch. Tears help keep the cornea moist and contain chemicals that fight off bacteria and other vermin. As you age, you produce fewer tears, as well as the antibacterial chemicals contained in them, putting you at risk of dry eyes and infections. You also lose the ability to rapidly develop new corneal cells. The lens. Sitting behind the cornea, the lens bends or focuses the light into the center. It's responsible for about 1/3 of the focusing of light that comes to the eye. UV radiation can cause oxidative stress, which damages vision by clouding our lens and burning through the delicate film and cells of our retina. The mass of the lens actually triples from the age of 20 to the age of 70, which you'd think would be a good thing, but it's not. That thicker lens causes us to become more nearsighted, and also makes it more difficult to discriminate colors. The other thing that occurs lens-wise is the formation of cataracts, a cloudiness of the lens. Often caused by smoking and medications such as steroids in any form, cataracts essentially steam up your optical window, causing an overall blurriness. They're also caused by a major ager of sunlight. The good news is that lenses can be removed and replaced surgically in as little as 20 minutes. The iris, it contains the muscles that control the amount of light that hits the retina through the contraction and dilation of the pupil. As you age, the dilator muscle atrophies, and the pupil ends up smaller, delivering about one-third of the light that it did at age 20. Interesting note about the iris, some believe that the health of your brain can be determined by your pupil reflex and response to light. The aqueous humor. This fluid is important because it's what keeps your eyeballs inflated to its spherical shape. The production of fluid, turned over every 90 minutes, decreases with age. Glaucoma occurs when the aqueous humor can't drain out of your eye through the mesh-like covering where it normally drains, thus building up pressure in the eyeball and cutting off some blood supply to the optic nerve. This clogging of the drain for aqueous humor can be caused by increased blood pressure in surrounding veins. Glaucoma causes loss of peripheral vision and, if untreated, can lead to blindness. The retina and macula. This is the part of the eye that houses your rod cells and cone cells, neurons that carry messages to your brain. The central part of the retina where our vision is focused most is called the fovea. Damage to this area is the major cause of blindness among Americans over age 55. Smoking or high blood pressure cuts off blood vessels that feed the retina and carry vitamins and antioxidants to the back of the eye to repair damage caused by the major ager of UV radiation. While genetics do play a role, lifestyle choices that keep your arteries young will reduce your chances of developing macular degeneration. Similarly, in the case of cataracts and glaucoma, you can control how fast they develop and whether they'll cause you to lose your eyesight.
U-tips. Here are a few ways to protect those baby blues. U-tip. Block those rays. Sunglasses do more than hide you from paparazzi. They'll protect your eyes from those nasty UVA and UVB rays. For best protection, follow these strategies. Find glasses that filter out both kinds of rays. Look for a label that specifically states 99% or 100% UV protection. People with contact lenses made with UV protection should still wear sunglasses. Since UV rays can still enter from the sides and top of sunglasses, it's smart to wear a hat with a 3-inch brim to help block light. Make sure you goggle up with UV protective eyewear, especially when you're on the slopes or in the water. Skiing, both water and snow, may be dangerous not only to your knees, but to your eyes as well, because they're being pummeled by both refractive and reflective light beams that bounce off the water or snow. So you have higher UV exposure on snow, water, and concrete because these surfaces reflect UV rays. You can also get higher radiation at higher altitudes and low latitudes, like near Everest or the Caribbean. Follow the same rule for your eyes as you do for your skin. If you're going to be exposed to the sun, do what you can to block out as much as you can. U-tip, see an eye doc. That's once every 2 years after age 40, even if you don't experience any changes in your vision. Ophthalmologists often are the first docs to detect conditions such as diabetes and high blood pressure. U-tip, feed your eyes. By getting the right nutrients, you can make sure that enough of them are diverted to your orbs. Our recommendations? Lutein, found in spinach, leafy green vegetables, and corn. Lutein seems to improve the health of your eyes by preventing oxidative damage to your retina. You can also take it in supplement form, at 6 to 30 milligrams daily. Vitamin C. Research shows that people who eat more fruits and vegetables, which contain vitamin C and other bioflavonoids, are less likely to develop eye conditions than those who eat fewer. Glutathione. Eggs, garlic, avocados, asparagus, and onions have the free radical scavenger glutathione, which has been shown to be effective for preventing cataracts at a 500 milligrams dose. The supplement N-acetylcysteine also helps at the dose of 500 milligrams a day. The eye cocktail. A large study sponsored by the National Institutes of Health found that certain vitamins, when taken together, can help prevent vision loss for those who have age-related macular degeneration. The study found that those people who already had wet macular degeneration had a more than 25% reduction in their risk of vision loss if they took 500 milligrams of vitamin C, 400 international units of vitamin E, 15 milligrams of beta-carotene, 80 milligrams of zinc, and 2 milligrams of copper every day in divided doses.
Major ager, disuse atrophy. Prime the pump to keep the body working well. We've often heard the use it or lose it mantra before. Most often we hear it in the context of our brains. But we also hear it when it comes to everything from our muscles to our sexual studliness. The principle, if you let your body parts shrivel up and die, they'll be happy to take you up on the offer. An example. Spend any amount of time with your leg in a cast, and immobility will cause that muscle to wilt like a waterless rose. The reason? Your body is too efficient to waste energy feeding limbs and organs that aren't being used. So if you ain't using it, then your body says you're losing it, and the nerves that help control those limbs and organs will wilt away too. This mechanism for aging, disuse atrophy, is a classic example of resource allocation. If your body knows that you're using crutches instead of quadriceps, then figures, forget this, I'll put the energy elsewhere. And so your leg muscles atrophy when you don't use them for long periods. We need to put our bodies to work in our lives. We need to work our muscles, our brains, and virtually every other organ and system in our body to make them stronger for longer. When it comes to using your body parts, you've got two extremes. Use them too much and you suffer from wear and tear. But don't use them enough and you suffer from disuse atrophy. The ideal, of course, is to find the middle ground, where you do just the right amount to make your body parts grow and thrive and not age. Here we'll deal with one of the systems most often associated with disuse atrophy in aging, your bones.
Chapter 14, Muscle Up Your Bones. Most of us do know that as we age, our bones lose some of their mass, primarily through the major ager of disuse atrophy. Loss of estrogen in women and loss of testosterone in men also adds to loss of bone mass, and there's certainly a genetic predisposition to bone loss. Just as important, bone loss is also related to another kind of disuse atrophy, muscle loss, because muscles also play a part in keeping our bones strong. Adding and maintaining lean muscle throughout your life puts the kinds of stress on your bones that will strengthen them. All of us remake our bones every decade. If we don't nurture and challenge them, then the body doesn't bother wasting the energy to keep them and the muscles that pull on them strong as we get older. And that makes us more prone to get shelved, like a canned good, if we do slip, fall, or break a hip or vertebra. Forming the foundation, your bones. If you were to slice open a bone and take a look inside, here's what you'd see. A compact layer, called cortical bone, forming the exterior of bone with an interior lattice work of fine bone structure, which is called trabecular or spongy bone. The cortical bone provides rigidity and structural integrity, while the spongy bone on the inside imparts flexibility and compressive strength to the skeleton, similar to the design of the Eiffel Tower. Bone material has both a collagen matrix and a calcium matrix, and bone is dynamic, is able to remodel itself according to what you need, as in the case of fusing a bone back together after it's been fractured. But even if you never break a bone, your skeleton is perennially remodeling itself. To do this, the bone needs a steady supply of protein, vitamins, hormones, and of course, calcium. You know that you need calcium to mineralize to the collagen proteins that help build your bone. Now, the flip side is that you stabilize plaque in your blood vessels with calcium reinforcement, which causes stiffening and raises your blood pressure, which forces the heart to work harder. So you want to help move calcium from the blood to the bone, and you can do that with your natural vitamin K2. Osteoporosis is not just a calcium deficiency disease, it's also a disease of excessive calcium loss. In other words, you can take all the calcium supplements you want, but if your diet and lifestyle choices are unhealthy, or you're taking prescription drugs such as steroids that cause you to lose calcium, then you'll end up with a negative calcium balance in your bone account. But you need to take calcium. Inadequate calcium intake sets off a chain of events to ensure normal calcium levels in the blood, since normal calcium levels in the blood are essential for proper muscle and nerve functioning. To ensure normal levels, you decrease excretion in your urine, increase absorption from your gut, and increase resorption of bone. Active vitamin D, manufactured when skin is exposed to sunlight, is the key that unlocks the gate and allows calcium to leave the intestine and enter the bloodstream. Vitamin D also works in the kidneys to help prevent the loss of calcium that would otherwise be excreted. You need an abundant supply to remodel bone. Why is it important? As you age, your ability to make vitamin D through the skin decreases. Plus, as you age, you hang out inside more and become housebound and experience less sunlight exposure. Osteoporosis is caused by a reduction in bone mass or bone density. The cause? Risk factors that may be influenced by genes include low vitamin D metabolism and delayed puberty, meaning that you have fewer years of hormonally stimulated bone growth before you reach your peak. Of course, you get to influence your vitamin D intake and many other factors. For postmenopausal women, the most common cause of osteoporosis is loss of estrogen. Other risk factors include untreated thyroid disease or overuse of thyroid supplements, kidney disease, inflammation, smoking, certain medications, and especially rheumatoid and other inflammatory forms of arthritis. And of course, lack of weight-bearing stress, which stimulates bones to remodel. Besides back pain and a loss of height, the main effect of osteoporosis is that the bones of your spine split faster than a celebrity couple, meaning that you're less able to tolerate everyday falls and accidents, and thus severely reducing your chances of being able to live independently. Research shows that the physical energy caused by a fall from a standing position is only about 1/20th of the amount needed to break a normal hip bone. So if you have kept your bone mass normal, you can easily tolerate usual falls. If you suffer from osteoporosis, however, your bone is more likely to break. Because of that, you have three jobs: remodeling bone, building muscle, and learning how to fall, which we'll discuss in a moment. In addition to slowing you down, osteoporotic fractures that happen as a result of falls can have serious, even lethal, consequences. The chance of dying in the 6 months after a hip fracture is 20 to 25%, and is twice as high in men than women. Being prone to falling and fracturing signals some other underlying pathology, such as inflammation in your body, which makes you more susceptible to other acute types of problems like pneumonia. Ultimately, osteoporosis gives you a sense of frailty that limits your activity and sets off a chain reaction that makes you feel and become old.
U-tips. By adding a few things to your workout, chewing a few tablets every day, and knowing that bone wants to protect you, you feed your skeleton the ingredients it needs to stay strong for a good long time. U-tip, add weight. The number one way you can stimulate bone remodeling is with weight-bearing exercise. That is, by doing some kind of resistance training that puts stress on your bones. Now, resistance can come in a lot of forms. Barbells, dumbbells, resistance bands, exercise machines, other people's bodies. The simplest way, and the way that eliminates excuses, is to use your own body weight as resistance, as in the case of push-ups or the invisible chair form of a squat. See realage.com for the U workout. U-tip, stretch it out, flexibility. That is lengthening your muscles and giving them the ability to adapt to all kinds of situations is important in the big bone picture. Stretching won't do anything to the physiology of your bones per se, but it will give you the ability to maneuver yourself during a fall or get yourself up after a fall. Oftentimes, people have the strength to get up after falling, but they don't have the flexibility to twist, turn, and wiggle their bodies when they're under chairs or behind toilets. Our suggestions for 3 good yoga stretches should be incorporated regularly into your life. Triangle pose. Stand with your feet spread apart and legs straight. Extend your arms straight out to the sides, parallel to the floor. With your right foot pointed to the right and your left foot pointed straight ahead, bend your waist to the right so that your right hand drops to your ankle and your left arm extends towards the ceiling. Hold for 10 seconds. Return to center, then switch sides. Repeat on the other side. If you have to bend your leg, it's important to keep your knee from going past the heel to prevent injury. Hippie stretch. With your feet together and flat on the ground, slowly bend forward at your waist. Alternate bending one knee and keeping the other leg straight while keeping your feet flat. Let your relaxed head hang down, releasing all your tension. Stretch each side for 15 seconds. To maximize the stretch, really drop the hip on the side of the bent knee. Butterfly. Sit on the ground with your back straight and your legs bent so that the bottoms of your feet touch each other in front of you. Let your knees drop towards the floor to stretch the inner part of your thighs. Take your hands and open up the soles of your feet like you're opening a book. Then relax your knees towards the ground on each exhalation. Take 30 seconds to really loosen your hips. U-tip, learn to fall. Falling is the leading cause of accidental death for people over 65, and a woman is more likely to die of complications from a hip fracture than of breast, uterine, and ovarian cancer combined. There is a right way to fall and a wrong way. Ideally, you want to minimize the force by falling on as much surface area as possible, and once you are going to fall, don't resist. Just try to fall safely. Learn to fall like a martial arts expert, so the fall won't break your spine or hip. You can actually practice falling, with an instructor preferably, on a padded floor. Start by falling from a low position in a deep squat. When you fall, don't think, react. If these tips exist somewhere in your subconscious and your muscles have memory, then you might fall correctly and minimize injury. Step 1. Tuck your head so that your chin is pointed to your chest. Step 2. When you're going down, lean into the direction where you're falling. Don't fight it, and bend your knees to lower the center of gravity. Don't stick out your arm or wrist to break a fall. Step 3. Aim your landing so that your shoulder and upper back are the first to hit the ground. Step 4. Roll over, like a somersault, a forward roll, so that the impact is absorbed over a larger area of your body, rather than just an acute break point at the location of impact. U-tip. Get a special K. That is vitamin K2, the metabolic product your body makes from vitamin K. It helps move calcium from your blood to your bone if you're calcium deficient. Those who are deficient in vitamin K have been shown to have a 30% higher risk of hip fractures than those with higher intakes. A relative of coenzyme Q10, K2 can be found in something called natto, a Japanese fermented soybean dish. Samurai warriors would eat natto to increase their strength and quicken their reflexes. K2 can also be found in low-fat cottage cheese, chicken, and certain cheeses. K2 K2 doesn't come from milk and isn't found in yogurt, as it's a waste product of bacteria that ferment milk into cheese. UTIP, see the whole picture. Around the time of menopause, your doc will suggest that you have a DEXA scan, the preferred standard for screening for osteoporosis and determining bone density. We believe in it too. DEXA commonly measures bone density only at the hip and lumbar spine, but can measure it in the wrist too. Ultrasounds, which are safe and cheap, measure only at the heel bones. CT scans use too much radiation for screening, but are good for determining the consequences of osteoporosis, like compression fractures. Ultrasound and CT scans aren't well correlated with your risk of fracture, while DEXA results are. We suggest that one for women and for men if they're losing height. UTIP, learn your treatment options. The best treatment for osteoporosis is to build peak bone mass, your bone bank, in your 20s and do weight training, but also to prevent bone loss in the first place. But if you are prone to it, there are medications available that can help control and slow bone loss, as well as to aid in treatment of symptoms associated with it. In addition to hormone replacement, the bisphosphonates, calcitonin, and raloxifene are anti-resorptive medicines which slow or stop the bone reabsorbing portion of the bone remodeling cycle without slowing the bone forming portion of that cycle. So formation is faster than resorption, and bone density may increase and the fracture risk decreases. Forteo, a form of parathyroid hormone, is a new osteoporosis medication and the first to increase the rate of bone formation. Don't think that the consequences of osteoporosis, bone fracture, occur only slowly over time. 1 in 5 women who break a vertebrae in the spine will have another spinal fracture within a year, possibly leading to a fracture cascade that could leave them with a hump like grandma. Not only does that make you look old, but vertebral fractures can lead to pneumonia and other causes of warranty shortening. And remember, only 1/3 of people with vertebral fractures know it. So do the bone-saving strategies as if your independence depends on it, because it does.
Major ager, wear and tear, how your body handles the breaking down process. Take a look at any city, and you can see signs of wear and tear all around. Paint is faded from houses, sidewalks are cracked, office windows are smudged, and roads can have more potholes than teens have zits. It's the price you pay for actually having people live in, use, and enjoy the city. But you ask, where are the repair people? The more often a city's infrastructure gets used, the more likely it is that it's not going to be able to absorb every bit of shock, trauma, and damage that it was designed to withstand. If it's worn down, then likely its use outstripped the ability of the city to maintain it. That probably means that the city hasn't put enough money into repair crews, or maybe the damage has just overrun what crews could repair, or maybe the repairs have been made with bad materials. When it comes to many systems in your body, it works the same way. When you grind down your body simply by the act of living, whether it be your joints or your ears, your body is going to experience some kind of damage. It's the slow churning away at the efficiency and productivity of our body systems that causes many of the ailments we associate with aging. But the problem isn't just the wear and tear of particular body parts. It's the multiplier effect. If a road is shut down because of wear, that puts extra pressure on other roads, or the bus system, or the subway system, to absorb some of the fallout. And then that leads to, more wear and tear on those systems. That multiplier effect is what can lead to a total urban shutdown, and a total bodily one as well. Wear and tear in and of itself won't do you in. What will? Your body's inability to keep up with maintenance as fast as it's needed. Wear and tear is thought by many to be an obvious reason why we slow down as we get older. Your hearing gets worn down by excessive noise, and wear and tear takes out other systems, from your teeth to your joints. The valves in your heart wear down after years of letting blood through. They end up working like a door with a rusted hinge. Your liver is subject to wear and tear that can lead to cirrhosis from scarring. In your esophagus, too much wear through reflux problems that haven't been adequately repaired leads to esophageal and throat cancer. What we have to be careful about is falling into the trap of thinking that deterioration is normal when it comes to aging. Just because it's common to creak like a haunted house as we get older doesn't mean it's inevitable. Our bodies ought to be able to make those necessary repairs. It's when we're unable to make those repairs, be it due to chronic disease or damaged DNA, that we slip into what most of us think of as simply old age. Most serious aging happens at the cellular level. The simple act of bending your knee, for example, exposes the cells of your cartilage to physical damage and damaging chemicals. Some of those cells are killed directly by the damage. That's called necrosis. While in other instances, damage accumulates over time, and the cells eventually go into retirement. That process is called senescence, when the cells stop dividing permanently, or they undergo apoptosis. That's the cell death we described earlier, in which they're broken up and reabsorbed. As cells become senescent, tissues slowly lose their ability to repair and regenerate themselves efficiently and as perfectly. Imperfectly repaired cells accelerate damage, which in turn causes more cells to become senescent, which causes even more damage. Imperfectly repaired or replaced or retired cells build up like those in arthritic joints. And so, the vicious cycle of old age keeps spinning unless you know how to stop it or keep it from starting in the first place.
Chapter 15. Hear ye, hear ye. We all know, and probably live with, people who have recently added some more words to their verbal repertoire, namely, huh, pardon, or for De Niro fans, you talking to me? Hearing loss affects a whopping one-third of all people over 65 and half of people over 75. And the rate of loss accelerates like a hot rod as we age. While hearing loss isn't one of those things that's going to kill you, it is one of the biggest things that can influence your quality of life and ultimately your health. When you can't hear as well, you limit your social interactions. This can cause a tangible decrease in your length and your quality of life. In fact, hearing loss can age you at least 4 years in real age terms, mainly due to the social isolation that typically accompanies hearing loss. Bottom line, if you can do what you can to save your hearing, you'll feel younger and be younger. Your ears. Turn up the volume. Have you ever given thought to how those sounds make their way into your ear and ultimately register in your brain? Here's how it works. When the sounds from birds chirping or sports fans cursing enter your ear canal, those sound waves hit the skin-like tympanic membrane. That's the eardrum for those unfamiliar with percussion instruments. The membrane is shiny and reflects light when it's healthy, but if infected, it appears red with fluid around it. Just as the head of a drum vibrates when hit, so does your eardrum. That oscillation vibrates the smallest bones in your body, which abut the eardrum and are larger than a grain of sand but smaller than a big grain of rice. That then causes the snail-shaped cochlea next to them to quiver as well. With all due respect to the Beach Boys, these good vibrations, traveling through fluid in the tubes of the cochlea, then stimulate hair cells growing on the inside of these cisterns. Since the hairs are attached to nerves, as they move, the auditory nerves become excited. These hair nerves respond to different frequencies, some to high and some to low. That is where the message transmission takes place. The nerves fire away messages to the brain that allows it to hear the sounds and realize that, yes indeed, that is Ellen DeGeneres doing Dory's voiceover in Finding Nemo. The biggest cause of hearing loss, and the reason why it is such a good example of the major ager of wear and tear is loss that comes from exposure to loud sounds. Loud noises cause the fluid to push through the cochlea too aggressively, thus shearing off the hairs, which, while resilient, don't heal once they're permanently damaged. And the high-frequency hairs are more vulnerable, making the lost ability to hear higher pitches, like many female voices, one of the signs of age-related hearing loss. Without the hairs, the vibrations can't get transmitted to your nervous system for interpretation. Cochlear damage occurs when we're exposed to more than 85 decibels for 8 hours or 100 decibels in a row for 1 hour. Other things that cause you to lose hearing include wear and tear from viral infections and certain medications that attack hair cells. Sometimes it is actually bad karma. About 80 genes are currently linked to hearing loss as we age. Age-related hearing loss is under some genetic control, but the details are still unknown.
U-tips. We have muffs to protect us from cold and plugs to protect us from snorers. You can stop much of hearing loss by protecting your ears from loud sounds everywhere. That means either wearing plugs or noise cancellation devices or avoiding excess noise altogether. U-tip, trust your partner. If your partner tells you that your ears seem clogged, resist the temptation to fight back with, "Yeah, and so are your pores." It may feel like nagging at the time, but your partner's frustration with repeating repeatedly is very often the first sign that you should have a medical checkup. U-tip, get the wax out. You probably grew up thinking cotton swabs were the ultimate wax removers. But you've heard it before, assuming you're not suffering from hearing loss, don't stick any spear-like objects, aka Q-tips, into your ear, as they can perforate your eardrum. If you experience buildup, you can remove the wax with an over-the-counter softener like glycerin. Or put mineral oil in your ears, let it sit for 60 minutes, then gently flush with saline warmed to body temperature, or just let it fall out on a piece of cotton. U-tip, eat for your ears. It appears that two substances, folate and phytochemicals, might have some auditory advantages. Taking 800 micrograms of folate has been shown to slow the loss of high-frequency sounds. Deficiencies in folate and vitamin B12 might affect both the nervous system and the vascular system associated with hearing. U-tip, cover up. In noisy situations, it's worth using noise cancellation headphones, which emit energy in a frequency that we can't hear. The sound waves they create have the same amplitude but opposite polarity as the original sound. They combine with the external wave and effectively cancel it out, so there's no sound at all. Models available in stores typically cancel lower frequency noises, while the ear cups themselves protect you from high frequency noises. If you're exposed to loud noises that come and go, like sirens, trucks, and traffic, cover your ears and bring earplugs to weddings and bar mitzvahs.
Major ager, unforced errors. Why our bodies can't withstand the crazy things that happen in life. Much of aging certainly is about preventing the decrease in quality of life from chronic diseases and long-term wear and tear. But the ultimate form of aging is the kind of aging that bypasses all the details and kills us off immediately. A car crash, a fall from a cliff, or a freak encounter with a rabid antelope. Most of us like to write off accidents as unfortunate circumstances of fate. The pencil point had to be in the exact spot where you stepped. The incoming baseball was perfectly tossed to strike your eye socket. Out of the entire surface of your driveway, you decided to step in the 3-square-inch spot that still had a patch of ice. An incident like any of these may have you cursing at the gods of fate, wondering why the planets, stars, and moon all had to align at that exact moment in that exact place, with you as the exact victim. After all, they never align to let you win the Powerball. Many accidents are just that, a small if and or but between a close call and a life-or-death situation. Some things you can't always control, but you can take steps to minimize other risks. In fact, many accidents are very preventable and not really the end result of some cosmic master plan of evil. While some of us may seem like Mr. Magoo, having accidents follow us wherever we go, the truth is that we're actually responsible through our actions for much of the bad stuff that can happen. Before talking about how you can avoid accidents, however, it's important to know why nature made us so vulnerable to freak accidents, crashes, and ironic incidents of injury. It's not that our bodies aren't extremely resilient. Just as a city absorbs its share of accidents, be it fires, traffic accidents, or chemical spills, our bodies can also take some hits. But they're not perfect. We die or have a decreased quality of life because we knock our heads, or break our bones, or can't stop bleeding. The reason? Again, it's one of those biologic trade-offs. Our bodies certainly could be made to withstand more. If it were necessary to preserve the species, evolution would have made sure that our bones were firm enough to survive a fall from a cliff, or our organs dense enough to never bleed out. But that would be as inefficient as a sleep-deprived college student. If we had bones heavy enough to withstand falls and crashes, then we wouldn't be able to walk. If our skulls were so thick that we could survive hockey puck assault, our heads would be so heavy we'd have to carry them in backpacks. Not all that efficient, eh? Evolution has no reason to overbuild us to the point where improvement in one area of biology would sacrifice other areas. For extreme resilience in our bodies, we'd give up our bodies, extreme flexibility, and our lifestyles. No more twister for you. When it comes to accidents and unforced errors, the big picture is this. It's all about leverage points, tipping life into your favor by doing the things that make your body better equipped to handle the unexpected things that will be hurled your way. And at some point, they will be hurled your way if they haven't already. That doesn't mean sitting in your home on a recliner with a frozen dinner and remote control. Then you'd subject yourself to that major ager of virtually everything, disuse atrophy. It means making sound decisions in life. Non-slip mat in the shower, helmet when you're riding a bike. To stack the odds in your favor. It means knowing where the trouble spots may be so you can plan to avoid them and cope with them if you can't. It's not all about playing life safe. It's about playing to win.
If a city doesn't have a good plan, it goes bankrupt. If a designer doesn't have a good plan, she gets embarrassed. A suitor without a plan, he ends up with a slap or a drink on his face. The same applies to you. To live life without a smart plan, you're asking your body to go bankrupt. Or be embarrassed, or wind up being slapped upside the head by the effects of aging. That's why we've constructed a You Extended Warranty Plan to give you a playbook of the steps you can take to make your life rich, vibrant, and healthy. Follow the plan laid out in the PDF file that accompanies this audiobook, and you'll be applying the brakes to aging and pressing the gas on living younger. Before you begin, though, let's recap.
As you now know, your journey through the body and all of the magical cellular processes that happen every day, we age through a variety of major agers, which work in a couple of different ways. Some act as outside stressors that wear us down. Think UV radiation and toxins. Others age us because they fritz out along the way and are no longer able to defend us, a weakened immune system, or repair us if we're damaged. A slowdown of stem cells. Our goal in aging is to keep our body systems running smoothly. That means not only limiting and defending against outside threats, but more importantly, making sure we maintain our repairability. Now, the trick, of course, is that it's not like we can flip on some biologic switch and instantly repair all the damage we've accumulated over time. Your body's ability to repair takes some energy and can come at a cost of damage itself. These are the trade-offs that we've talked about throughout this audiobook. Still, our ultimate goal is to slow the rate of aging. That is, the more we can mitigate or prevent the damage we accumulate over time, the more we can decelerate our rate of aging, and the younger we get to stay and to feel.
Thankfully, science does have answers that will minimize damage and crank your repair mechanisms to work optimally. We've outlined these answers throughout the audiobook, but we've also brought many of the ideas together in the You Extended Warranty Plan, the plan that will extend the service life of your body so that it continues to work at peak level. What we want you to do is change your mindset about what kind of product your body is. A lot of us treat ourselves like we're disposable, when we really should be thinking of ourselves as being high-end, with the opportunity to last for a long, long time. The You Extended Warranty Plan offers the idea that for a specified period of time, if you follow the instructions for good maintenance, your high-quality product will have the reliability and durability and expectations to perform like new.
If you embrace the idea that you can extend your warranty period past what you typically thought as acceptable, then you'll do your part in reversing stereotypes about aging and about all your perceptions about aging. After all, aging is about being well enough to do and enjoy the things you want to do in life. Maybe that means finishing a 5K in at least as good a time as you did 5 years ago. Maybe it's realizing that after decades of dining on takeout, you really want to cook. As you mature, your aspirations should change and develop, because if you're no better today than you were yesterday, then what's the plan for tomorrow? And when you really think about it, what's the point of tomorrow if you're not contributing to the world by improving yourself and your community? So take a look at the 14-day You Extended Warranty Plan of tips, quizzes, shopping lists, and action steps that will get your mind and body best prepared to make changes. You'll work on these changes for 2 weeks, the time it takes for behaviors to become habits. In that time, you'll become accustomed to the foods, activities, and thought processes that will keep you living young for good.
We're happy that you've made it this far in the audiobook and that you've taken the time to really learn about your body and how it ages from a cellular point of view, a systems point of view, and even an anthropological point of view. But now is the time to apply the information you've digested so you can go ahead and get the very most and very best out of life. Sound like a plan?
You Staying Young, the Owner's Manual for Extending Your Warranty, was written and read by Dr. Michael F. Roizen and Dr. Mehmet C. Oz. It was abridged for audio by Karen DiMattia and directed by Sarah Ginsberg and Paul Fowley. It was recorded by Bill Roth at Cleveland Clinic Media Production in Cleveland, Ohio, and by Sean Stevens at the Center for Biomedical Communications, Columbia University in the city of New York. Editing and post-production by Common Mode, Paul Fowley, Technical Director. The associate producer was Michael Noble. You, Staying Young, was produced by Elisa Shokoff. This has been a presentation of Simon & Schuster Audio.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.